now, from studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hi there. Welcome to our weekend show, The Common Sense Show. I'm Jim Brown. I'm broadcasting this week from our flagship station, WJBO, 1150 AM in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Louisiana. Had a great couple of months, though. We broadcast all over the country from coast to coast. Kind of glad to be back home this time of year, and I'm glad you're spending some time with me today. Have you ever felt like you needed to get in an argument with someone? We all argue. We argue with our family. We argue with our friends, sometimes with business partners. I stirred up a hornet's nest this week, and let me be quite frank with you. I've gotten in an argument with God. That's tough now. That's a pretty tough opponent, I think you'd agree. We're not a religious show, but many of you listen to us on Sundays, and we talk to some degree about religion. Later on in this show today, at the half hour, we're going to have a professor from Notre Dame join me from the theological department there to talk about Christian persecution. She's written a new book that says that maybe Christians weren't persecuted nearly as much as some of the early history tells us they were. We're going to explore that a little bit today. I do so as a layman. I do so in a non-religious category, whether you're Christian, Muslim, whether you're Jewish, whatever your religion is. We talk about the general concepts. And the reason I got into my, quote, argument with God was the new miniseries that's on. Great miniseries. I don't know if you watched last week's miniseries on the History Channel called The Bible. Some folks out in Hollywood felt like that there had not been a portrayal that was good enough recently. You go back to some great biblical stories, going back to, Moses and the Ten Commandments and so many great biblical stories that go back such a long, long time. Ben-Hur, one of the greatest of all time. Charlton Heston was the guy that played those major roles. He was kind of the voice of God or one of the prophets. I don't know anybody that could do it better, quite frankly. But in any event, a good History Channel miniseries, very hard in a 10-part miniseries to cover the whole Bible. I mean, I guess it was kind of like the Bible's greatest hits, you were watching it. And it was a little bit like a theme park tableau of one disaster after another. Last week, at least, there was a lot of disasters that were covered. And in the Old Testament, from Noah's Ark to Sodom and Gomorrah to so many examples of conflict that take place where there is a lot of disaster. The Old Testament and the Bible itself is not all roses and good times, because there's a lot of conflict that takes place. And so the Bible played up those disasters, not in the way that Mel Gibson did in his movie on Christ that was so much suffering, way too much, in my opinion. But often when you deal up these greatest hits, if you will, or these highlights of the Bible, you miss the lyric and the joy that gives life and hope to believers who, and this often gets lost in the turmoil of struggle and sacrifice. So the Bible is probably not the greatest book as far as literature. You know, you read Shakespeare, Milton, Dostoevsky, Proust. You've got a great flow of cadence and rhythm. I don't know who wrote the Bible. There are many of you listening out there that think it's the exact word of God, that that the good Lord inspired writers to write it just as he wanted. And that's when you can, we can spend not hours, not days, but years talking about all the violence in the Bible, all of the orders coming down from God or from Jesus, particularly in the Old Testament where, you know, families are told to be killed if they don't meet certain criteria. And I guess you can make a pretty good argument that the biblical scholars that wrote each individual book got their inspiration from what they thought was the Word of God, and then they've sat down and wrote these books. And I say write. It's hard to interpret exactly what's in the Bible because so much of this was not written down. Nobody knew how to write several thousand years ago. That few that did would do it off of parchment. They'd find some kind of ink they would make out of berries, I guess, and then they would find the parchment, the skin of a sheep, a dead animal, Well, you can imagine how slow it would be then to write and put something down in paper, rather on the scroll, on the skin, how long that would take. And so as a consequence, oral history took place, the oral tradition. Fathers would pass stories down to their sons and so on, and you would have this oral history take place. And then, of course, you had the tribal languages. We find that true today if you look at all the conflict going on in the Middle East within a country, say, like Iraq or Afghanistan. There are numerous dialects where one part of the country cannot understand someone from the other part of the country. So you get into this translation that you might have a biblical story that's passed down orally from one generation to the next. And then there is changing of language, and then it was you had the various dialects that came down finally that went into the Greek, to the Roman, and then into German with Martin Luther, and then to the English, finally translation. The King James Version was a marvelous translation of the Bible. But I guess the point I'm making is you can see where maybe some people misinterpreted it or took a spin that maybe the initial disciples didn't or didn't really mean. That's the point I'm making. Having said that, you've got this miniseries out there. I watched it last week, going to watch it again this week, and I enjoy it. Again, you've got the greatest hits or certain things you fasten upon. Now, here's what stirred up all my controversy. In the book of Genesis, which is where this all began, and you have the book interpreted by these Hollywood producers as a book where we start with Abraham. They took certain key events. They took Abraham, and they showed Abraham going up on the mountain, where he was told by God, you need to sacrifice. Well, sacrifice was pretty common back in those days. Again, that's another thing we have a hard time getting a handle around, whether it be animals. In many tribes where there are multi-gods, you would sacrifice a human being. And that was a tradition before one God theory came in. You didn't do that anymore. But there was still sacrifice of lambs and animals and that kind of thing. So it wasn't out of the norm to have a sacrifice. But it was a huge confrontational pull of decision, agony, tearing a part of your soul when the one loving God who you believe in, and I'm putting words in Abraham's mouth, was told, go up and make a sacrifice. Show me that you are devoted to me by killing your son, taking Isaac and offering him as a sacrifice. And this is important in Genesis because most biblical scholars consider the book of Genesis as the bedrock, the foundation for continuing biblical belief. It's the most quoted and referenced book in all the Bible. Genesis is not just the first book of the Bible. Like I say, it's the bedrock for the theological truths founded in all remaining books in the Old and the New Testament. So when you have the first event that takes place in terms of major killing that you can identify, Abraham was the father of mankind. He was the guy that produced the sons that gave us Judaism, Christianity, Islam, all came from him. So he was a very important person in the Bible and someone that laid the foundation for what happens in the future. And he was told by God, go kill me your son. Now, we're going to take a little pause right now, and I'm going to come back and tell you what my problem with God is. I haven't heard from God about it. He may be mad at me, but we're certainly going to talk some more about it. This is Jim Brown, The Common Sense Show. Our website, www.jimbrownusa.com. I want you to freshen up your coffee out there, and we'll come right back and talk some more.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com. The most recognizable name in all of home improvement radio, the Cajun contractor Michael King, host of Home Talk USA, is now available for your next speaking engagement. That's right. You can have one of the most exciting, energetic personalities on the radio today speak at your next function. If your trade organization or company needs a qualified speaker to talk about home improvement products, technologies, and services, even the current state of your industry, please give him a call today. The Cajun contractor Michael King is a qualified, licensed, tested contractor with an extensive knowledge of home improvement construction and repairs, and is regarded by his peers as one of the top experts in his field and the home improvement industry in general. His keen sense of humor and entertaining delivery will really make your next function one to remember. Call the Cajun contractor Michael King today at 985-641-3730. That's 985-641-3730. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HometalkMedia.com. 985-641-3730. Michael King at HometalkMedia.com. C'est le bon temps roulé. Let the good times roll.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. March 6th, 2013. Gold opened this morning at $1577.40. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1617.11, $808.55 for a half ounce, or $404.28 for a quarter ounce. That's $1617.11, $808.55, and $404.28.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Is there a less expensive way to detoxify your body? Yes. Microplant powder from hempusa.org frees your body of toxins from virus, fungus, bacteria, vaccinations, pharmaceutical residues, heavy metals, parasites, and toxic chemicals in your food and water for around $10 a month. And for persistent health issues, try our Matrix Bio Powder together with Microplant Powder for a deeper cellular cleaning. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, we're talking about a very controversial subject today, arguing with God. Can you ever get in an argument with a good Lord? I've kind of picked a fight this week and made a lot of people mad, quite frankly. I'm just in a public way showing the inner struggle I have. It all came about because of this miniseries going on, the Bible, wonderful miniseries on the History Channel. It's on every Sunday night. We'll be on for the next 10 weeks, where some Hollywood producers who make a good faith effort to tell the story of the Bible. The Bible's wonderful literature. Whatever your beliefs are, if you're Jewish and you only believe in the Heavenly Father, if you're Christian and you accept Jesus Christ, if you are Muslim, whatever your religion happens to be, you go back to the Old Testament. You start with Abraham. That's where it all began. We talk about Adam and Eve and the biblical story of the foundation, but really it all begins with the father of all mankind, Abraham. And apparently, and if you want to read my controversial column that stirred up this firestorm, I'm hearing from people all over the country, many who agree with me, many who don't. You can read it by going to our website here at GCNLive.com. It's on the front page there. Or you can find a lot more information about it on my website, which is www.JimBrownUSA.com. That's JimBrownUSA.com. And so what I ended up doing, I felt like that God apparently felt he had to test the faith of his chosen one. And that came out in this miniseries where you saw Abraham go up the mountain with Isaac, and Isaac says, "Where's the lamb, Father?" And then you see Abraham's wife look and get deeply concerned, a deep concern in her face, and starts running away because she's really determined as to what's going to happen here, and that their son may be killed as a sacrifice. So God apparently tells Abraham to offer his son as a sacrifice. And like I say, there was lots of wailing and emotion. This was not, "Oh yeah, sure, this is something we do because we love the Lord." It was a really tough thing in the miniseries. Now look, the miniseries was a movie, and I'm not saying that's what actually happened in the Bible. But what happened was God says, "Go kill your son to show me your faith and devotion." And I can understand, we talked earlier on the program about the fact there was lots of sacrifice in those days, particularly of animals like lambs. But this is your blood. This is your being. This is your foundation. This is your legacy. And you're told as a test, go kill your son. And my reaction was, what's up with that? How could anyone be asked to kill their own blood? Now, there was no Sophie's Choice here like you saw in the German film. William Styron, great author, if you've ever read Sophie's Choice, a marvelous book about having to choose and give up one of your children. William Styron was an author that taught me English literature at Duke University many years ago. This was a commandment to commit murder. Now you say, yes, but it was a test. God would have never let Abraham actually take the knife and kill Isaac. He wouldn't have done so. It was a test. It was an allegory. There was symbolism there coming up to Jesus Christ himself when he was killed on the cross. This is all tied in. There's a message here. It all relates. I've studied it and studied it. I've read so many emails that people have sent me about the column this week, and I just don't get it. Look, if our God is all being, all knowing, then why do you have to put Abraham to the test? God knew what was going to happen, so why do you have to test him in the first place? Why did you test his loyalty? God should know whether he's loyal or not, but he took him to this horrible test of saying, take the life of your own son. I just think it's awfully cruel. And I just wonder why God or man or anyone would force such a horrendous choice. You a Bob Dylan fan? Bob Dylan poignantly and pointedly asked the same question. I remember his title track. I still have it. Highway 61 Revisited. It's an album that came out back in 1965. Or the Highway 61 Revisited. Still a standard album today. And the song challenges the moral dilemma of killing one's own son at the request of the Almighty. The lyrics say, by Bob Dylan, "Oh, God said to Abraham, kill me a son. Abe says, man, you must be putting me on. God says, no, Abe said, what? God said, you can do what you want, Abe, but the next time you see me coming, you better run. Abraham says, where do you want the killing done? God says, out on Highway 61. I think that's interesting, the local position. All you listeners in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, along the Gulf Coast, you happen to know that Highway 61 runs right through the center of the capital, murder capital of the world. The murder capital of the world, is New Orleans, Louisiana, my city. So when America's poet troubadour picks a location to symbolize one of the most heart-wrenching choices posed by God to man, a choice I will always think is dead wrong for God to pose in the first place. The heart and soul of this dilemma runs right through the Crescent City, right through New Orleans on Highway 61. Well, I'm going to continue to watch this biblical miniseries on Sunday nights, and it's great. Sit down with your kids, your grandkids, and let them see episodes within the Bible, but then discuss it with them because, again, these are just the greatest hits of the Bible that are played out. And it's open for discussion about a marvelous lyrical book. Whatever your beliefs are, if you're a believer or not, the Bible is a foundation of literature. You are not educated if you've not read the Bible, whatever your religious beliefs are. And I happen to be one of those believers. But along my personal religious journey, when I see or read of the testing of Abraham, I've got no qualms of telling the writer or the good Lord himself that I'm having a hard time dealing with such a test. And maybe it was these earthly interpreters that didn't get the message right. I'm not sure about that. Let me give you the alternatives. I would suggest to you that if you want to see the proper interpretation of the kind of life you should live, look at Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 21:3 says, "To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." Listen to that now. This, to me, is the foundation of what I believe. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. What that proverb is saying, look, Jesus Christ, if you happen to be a Christian, said, if you want to be a Christian, do two things. Believe in the Lord, believe in the guy upstairs, and do good works. He didn't talk about the sacrifice, especially the blood sacrifice. Proverbs says to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Good foundation in which to live. We're going to come back and talk to a professor at Notre Dame University about some really challenging discussions about persecution of Christians. We're getting on a roll with the religion today, and I'm enjoying it. I hope you are too. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
March into big spring preparedness savings this month at BePrepared.com. Going on now. Emergency essentials and BePrepared.com save you 28% off your favorite beef and chicken combo entrees. Save 24% on number 10 cans of freeze-dried raspberries. Or save 26% on our freeze-dried strawberry slices with purchase of 12 or more. Katadyn Pocket Micro Water Filters are 27% off. Try our fruit-flavored HydroPack Combo Water Filtering Pouches in March. Buy 5 10-packs for a 50% discount. Stock up on wheat with a year's supply of grains for $70 off, only at BePrepared.com. And this month, power up with a Goal Zero Sherpa 50 solar-powered recharging kit at $110 off MSRP, and we'll throw in a free $50 emergency essentials gift card. The March sale ends March 31st at BePrepared.com. For contents and details, call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or click BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
That a religion. We're not a religious program, but there's been lots of religious information in the news. If you look at what's happening in the Middle East, it's all based on religion. The religious fights that take place, religious fights throughout all of history have set the tone and influenced how we think and the direction we take. And the religious controversy continues today in terms of interpretation of so many social issues in this country today. I talked earlier about my column. You can read my new column on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com, where I didn't pick a fight with the good Lord. I just said that some things in the Bible are open to interpretation. And I talked about the fact that the miniseries going on right now, it's a wonderful miniseries that you should sit down with your children, with your grandkids, your family. And it's open for discussion. It's a good beginning point for discussion as to what many of these parables in the Bible mean. Discussions about so many things that begin with Adam and Eve. The book of Genesis last week was the emphasis from the miniseries. And in my column this week, I raised the question about Abraham going to the mountain and killing his son. And what a terrible Sophie's choice, if you will, along those lines. One of the other things we find in the Bible is the fact that there's so much persecution of Christians. After Jesus Christ died, we've heard so much about Christians being thrown into the lion's den and a really aggressive effort to eliminate Christians from the Roman Empire. Is that true or not? Now, let's get some information about that. Dr. Candida Moss is a professor of biblical Biblical Studies and Early Christian History, University of Notre Dame Theological Department. Very well-educated lady, University of Oxford as an undergraduate, Yale Divinity School. She's got her Ph.D. in religion. And she's written an interesting new book, a fascinating book, called The Myth of Persecution, about early Christians. Dr. Moss, glad you joined us today on the Common Sense Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Doc, let me ask you this. The general belief and consensus of most of my readers out there is that once Christ died on the cross, the Christians had a pretty rough go. That, there was widespread persecution, thrown to the lion's den, put on the cross by the thousands, nailed to the cross. We've seen interpretations in some of the biblical movies. If you go down miles after miles, there's just one Christian after the other nailed to the cross. Your book basically says that persecution happened, as it does in many cultures involving religion, but that maybe this story of martyrdom to the large numbers that were involved is somewhat of a myth. Tell us just what you found in your studies.
Right. Well, yes, I grew up with that story, too, of tens of thousands of early Christian martyrs. But once I started to look at the evidence, once I became an academic, I realized that the overwhelming, perhaps 95% of the stories about Christian martyrs, from where we get this impression, they were actually written long after the events. They were forged or fabricated for reasons other than just telling the story. And once you start to look at the Roman evidence, you start to realize it's just not there. We really don't have many documents indicating that the Romans were that interested in Christians. They don't even seem to really have known who they were until the second century, which means that all those stories about the first century of Romans persecuting Christians simply couldn't have been true. The Romans just didn't even know who they were. So once I started to put the evidence together, it seems like Christians were persecuted for reasons that once you look at the evidence, you might actually empathize with. For about somewhere between 3 and 10 years in the whole first 3 centuries of the Roman Empire. But the story that we grew up with, that simply isn't true.
I guess that it's hard for us to understand that the Roman Empire, we think that the initial story of Christianity just spread like wildfire all over the world, when actually there was a small concentration within what the Roman Empire made up, a little bit of the Middle East coming into Greece and finally into Rome. But it took a long, long time for Christianity to spread into Europe and into England and then finally get to the United States and into Latin and South America. This was not an overnight thing. I think that we see motion pictures, we read stories and hear speeches that sometimes lead us to believe that it just spread like wildfire, and as a consequence, you had Roman objections because they thought Christianity was a real threat. And from what you're saying, this just didn't happen overnight.
Oh, no, it absolutely didn't happen overnight. Christianity did spread quickly in comparison to other ancient religious movements, but it didn't sort of take over the whole world instantly. And when it comes to what the Romans thought about the Christians, they didn't even think of them as a religion. So we have Roman governors, the first Roman governor, to write to an emperor and say, what am I supposed to do about these Christians? Describes them as a superstition. He says that they're a contagious superstition. He doesn't describe them as a religion. He's not seeing them even as some kind of religious threat. And he says that when he looks at what Christians think, he has no problem with their belief system. He thinks it's silly, but he doesn't have a problem with their belief system. He has a problem with the threat that they pose to the stability and order in the Roman Empire. And so, and this is what we see with the Romans. When Christians come into Roman courtrooms, they start talking about how they have this other emperor called Christ and how they cannot respect this Roman tribunal. It doesn't mean anything. They don't respect the government. They won't join the military. They won't do all of these things that Romans expected people to do. And so when Romans did execute Christians, often what they were hearing was political rebellion. That's what they heard the Christians saying, and they didn't think they were a religious group. So what they thought they had were these rebellious political figures threatening to bring down the empire. And it might seem harsh to us that they executed those people, but the Romans executed people for crimes like adultery or perjury or satirical songs. So, you know, John Stuart would have found himself executed in the Roman Empire. And when you place what's happening to Christians in that context, suddenly it seems very different. This is just the administration of law. This is not about religious persecution.
Yeah, I think you wrote, if I remember correctly, you wrote something about the fact that the Romans weren't real big on maintaining prisons, didn't want to go to all the costs of maintaining prisons, so you were played by their rules, or they just whacked you then, right?
That's right. I mean, you know, to the Romans, the idea of the government paying to keep people inside doing no work made no sense to them. Right? Why would you do that? They're criminals. So they did one of two things. Sometimes they would send people off to sort of work in the mines until they died, basically, until they died of sort of exhaustion. But mostly they just executed them. Who really has the resources to devote to building prisons? At least that was the perspective of the Roman Empire. So there was no sort of scale to the punishment. They either executed you or they let you go.
Talking to Dr. Candida Moss, she's a theologian, historian professor at the University of Notre Dame, and putting some of this in perspective, since we're talking a lot about religion today, focusing on, and Doc, what got me interested in you, and I've talked on the first portion of the show about this mini-series History Channel has put on involving the Bible, and it sparked a lot of interest, particularly in my part of the country, about questions involving the Bible. Now, let me ask you this. You said that there may be some reasons why this myth grew, say, hundreds of years later about persecution of Christians. What was the motive behind a writer or a theologian at that point in time wanting to start this rumor to emphasize much more persecution than actually took place?
Right.
And now that I pose that question to you, got to take a break right now. If you can just hang on for a second, let me get through a little business with the station. We'll come back and talk to Dr. Candida Moss. Her book, The Myth of Persecution, is on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Fascinating book. Urge you to check out our website and order the book there. Again, that's jimbrownusa.com. Hey, freshen up your coffee, and we'll come right back with Professor Candida Moss.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
This is the old Cajun contractor Michael King here, host of Home Talk USA. Did you know that you can now shop and purchase online quality name brand tools and accessories at discounted prices from one of the top most visited online hardware stores, The Handy City? That's right. You can now take the hassle of having to go out and purchase these products. Just think, you can now order all of the top name brands from the comfort of your home computer and have it delivered straight to you in most cases. And the shipping is free. All the products are personally endorsed by me and guaranteed 100% by the manufacturer by using our online store. You'll be also helping to keep our popular home improvement radio show on the air. So please check out our website today at TheHandyCity.com. That's TheHandyCity.com. I'll say it again, TheHandyCity.com. Quality products at discount prices straight to you. I have only one thing I can say. Sauce le bon ton roulet. Let the good times roll. Yai!
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free. A 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply. Be in control. Be self-sufficient and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, we're talking about Christian persecution after the death of Jesus Christ. We're not a religious show, but fascinating history to see what happened. A new book out called The Myth of Persecution by Dr. Candida Moss. She teaches, and she's a professor up at the University of Notre Dame Theological Department, specializing in Christian history and biblical studies. And Dr. Moss, I asked you just before that break about the fact that what was the motive several hundred years later, hundreds of years later, for certain theologians or ministers or whoever they might happen to be within the Christian sect to stir up this myth of persecution a heck of a lot more. What was their motives? What were they trying to accomplish?
Well, there are basically two motivations that led to all of the forgery and sort of deception in early Christianity about martyrdom. The first was pretty simple. It was about money and power. So starting in the 4th century and beyond, Christians got really interested in saints. And wealthy pilgrims would travel across the Roman Empire to try and visit the places that Christians had died. So if you had an enterprising priest and a local legend of a martyr, the priest would write down a story about how that person had died. He might even work in some references to sort of local businesses. Maybe the saint had drunk wine that was produced there in order to attract this business so that pilgrims would come to that town, they would see where the martyr died, they would hear the story, and they would drink the wine. And so there was a lot of interest in people writing these stories just in order to kind of attract sort of economic support to their town. The other motivation, and we see this a lot in modern society too, was that martyrs were sort of heroes to people. People loved martyrs. They were like the founding figures of Christianity. And just like people use the founding fathers now to make political arguments, you know, they'll say, well, the founding fathers wouldn't have done that. Early Christians would write stories about martyrs denouncing heretics or supporting the election of particular bishops in order to support their brand of Christianity. And so there was a lot of there's a lot of forgery and deceit, and we can really look at the evidence and sort of peel back the text and watch that happen. And it's really intriguing and interesting to watch how Christians basically invented this entire legend out of very scant evidence in order to combat heretics or people who disagreed with them, and in order to support the sort of financial resources of the church.
Fascinating, fascinating history. Now, let me bring you up to date a little bit. By the way, The Myth of Persecution, Dr. Moss's book, is on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Let me ask you to look at the foundation of studies that you've done and bring it up to today. Interesting time we're dealing with religion today, on the verge of picking a new pope. Some talk of a Vatican Spring, kind of like the Arab Spring, to where a new pope could blossom and actually lead a discussion about some major issues in the Catholic Church, about the diminishing number of priests that are going on, and the fact that a lot of Catholics are not going to Mass anymore, and so as a consequence, is this a time of blossoming in religion in America today, and maybe within the Western tradition, or do you think we're just kind of in a holding pattern? Not much is going to change, whether it be Catholicism or other brands of Protestantism, that it's just going to stay the same. There's no real blossoming going on. What's your thoughts on that based on all your historical studies?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because we're hearing a lot about religion, about how necessary it is to bring people back into the churches, those people who are falling away. And in the Catholic Church, there's been a lot of discussion about how Catholics in America and the Catholic Church in America is under attack from secularism. It might be true that the Catholic Church is dwindling, but certainly what needs to happen is the Catholic Church needs to go out and persuade those people to come back to church. It needs to answer sort of tough questions. It can't just say, we're in trouble, we're under attack. Is this going to be a period of blossoming? I think for the Catholic Church, with respect to the new papacy, so much depends on who they elect and how that new pope decides to communicate with the world. Is he going to be the sort of figure that we can see in some cardinals right now who sort of talks about how the Catholic Church is under attack and those Catholics who have fallen away are sort of heretics and apostates? Or is he going to try and sort of beckon people to come back to the Catholic Church? So I think we hear a lot about religion because there is sort of a crisis of faith in modern America. But I think that what we really need to see is sort of a different way of talking to people who are disaffected with religious traditions.
I wish we'd get that back to the ground troops. If you're going to win a war, you can have all these bright generals at the top. You got to have the troops on the ground. You got to have the leaders. You got to have the sergeants and the lieutenants and the captains to lead those troops. And one thing that disturbs me is that just the small number of priests, we're just not growing within the priesthood. There's such a small number. I have traveled to some rural areas down here, initially where I were from, and, you know, there's maybe one priest for six or seven churches, and he travels around from church to church. Then often, although they love the priest and love to have him, it may be someone from another country. That I've had one lady tell me that said, Jim, we love our priest. We bring him into our homes. We are so thankful we have one. But you know what? On Sundays, we can't understand the Mass. We can't understand what he's saying. And so... As a consequence, you know, you got to have those leaders on the local level. You need a lot more priests. In any event, you and I aren't going to solve that problem, but I hope we see. And I'm not Catholic. I'm married to the Catholic lady and had my three children were baptized in the Catholic Church. I'm not Catholic, but my heart goes out for the fact that to communicate just what you're saying. You just can't do it with one person from the top. You got to have those street troops down there, and I'm talking about priests along that line, and if you're really going to make a difference. Does that make sense or not?
Yeah, Yeah, it does. Obviously, if you don't have priests to go to churches and perform the Mass, to be there to minister to people's needs, outside of just performing the Mass, they have to be there to listen, you know, to shepherd people through their lives. And if you don't have those people, what use is there really talking about how the church hierarchy is administered? And there are lots of suggestions that people have made. One is, what to do about just recruiting priests. Do we allow priests to marry, for instance? That's one potential solution. Another is to talk about the role of women in the Catholic Church. Do they get to take on more responsibilities in order to sort of meet the needs of congregations? And you're right, we're obviously not going to solve it now, but you're also absolutely right. Without priests to communicate to the congregations, people probably won't come to church because there'll be no one there to meet their spiritual needs.
All right, now tell me, it's March Madness. We start March Madness next week. Basketball fans all over the country. You have written about March Madness and picking the Pope. You've got brackets and everything out laid out. I've seen you talk on CBS News and with Charlie Rose and any number of people. So tell me about the Professor Rice, rather Professor Moss, March Madness brackets, and tell me, you got a favorite in this fight or not?
You know, I have a favorite, but I don't think he's going to win. I think that Cardinal Dolan, the American Cardinal from New York, he's a really interesting candidate, incredibly charismatic. You know, when you hear Cardinal Dolan on TV, you don't have to be Catholic to find yourself liking him. Cardinal Angelo Scola from Milan, he is sort of trusted. He's the man who announced the death of John Paul II. So he's very interesting and probably sort of the front runner in this race. I think some of the cardinals from the developing nations are really interesting. There's a very young cardinal out of the Philippines who has a completely impeccable track record on sex abuse scandals. So he's an interesting candidate, although he may just be too young for the job. So there are lots of really interesting people out there. I just hope I do better in March Madness for my papal picks than I do for March Madness with my basketball picks.
Well, I love the fact that you, as a Catholic, you kind of pick some Catholic schools, and you actually got some pretty good schools in the running this time around. You know, Syracuse is always in the running, and Notre Dame has a pretty decent basketball team. I've been following it quite as close. They got a pretty good basketball team, don't they?
Yeah, we do have a pretty good basketball team.
Doc, we're out of time. We're going to the top of the news hour. I want to tell our listeners again, The Myth of Persecution, great book by Dr. Candida Moss. Enjoyed our conversation. Give me a month or two, and we're going to come back and talk some more if you've got the time for us. Okay, Dr. Moss?
That would be great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Have a nice weekend. Jim Brown's Common Sense Show. Let's get some news. We'll come back for our second hour.
To Jim Brown's Common Sense. Right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNLive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
I lost 18 pounds in just 4 days. Want to know how? Hi, I'm James Zetta. If you're like me, you've already tried and failed at many diet and weight loss plans. But if you still need and want to lose weight, if you're searching for a simple, safe, healthy approach to lose weight that is extremely easy to follow, listen to this. The 18-4 weight loss plan requires no exercising, no diet pills or additives, no laxatives, no meal replacements, and no diet drinks. The 18-4 program can help you lose 10, 20, 30 pounds or more, and it fits both men and women of all ages. The 18-4 program is crystal clear with a day-to-day, step-by-step, and meal-to-meal guide. And the best part? If you're not satisfied with your results, I will give you my 30-day full money-back guarantee. This program has helped thousands lose 18 pounds in 4 days, and it can do the same for you. Go to 18and4.com. That's the number 18, I-N, the number 4.com. 18and4.com. Easy to download, easy to start losing weight today with 18and4.com.